And I have pretty vision in this iteration. It is the decision.
Nice up the dance, sweet up the dance. Come down with me, is how really, 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 really play. Rocking universally, dubbing universally.
Set, set your children free now. Set, set your children free. Cause you're about to hit your goal at you. And I divinely, yes, above you. Set your children free. Set your children free. And Mr. Babylon, set your children free now. Set them free.
Policeman in a plane, close around. Sweet up the dance, sweet up the dance. The bassman and the drummer man along.
I want to take this occasion to big up my man Matt out in Austin. Big Ganja Man. What a tune. It's a Summer Records production out of Toronto,
sweet
Canada.
Sweet up the dance, the bassman and the drummer man along. The bassman and the drummer man along.
With a full expat musician and singer cast out of Jamaica.
Sweet up the dance. Sweet up the dance.
A truly unusual production.
Aye.
Is a General K.
Aye.
On Echo Box Radio. Special request to Kitama Man each and every time.
And I have pretty vision in this iteration. It is a decision.
Watch out for the next tune. It's Willie Williams again. A tune called Sweet Home. The Jive Victory production.
There is no place like home.
Yes, you said it, man.
I am at home. Still I am at home.
Made in Toronto as well.
There is no place like home. I am at home. Still I am at home.
Take it away, William. Large up. A man like Mateo, each and every time. A man like Roots Pablo, Covenant Sound System, King Shiloh Sound System, Pasha Mama. Moving forward, but staying in Toronto with Shekinah. Some female vibes. Reggae music. Get away, Shekinah.
Reggae music, it turns me on. Lovers music, it's number one. Rockers music, the fun has just begun. Reggae music, feel the music coming strong. Let the music play every night and every day. Hey, hey, no matter what they say.
Children, check out the next tune from the mighty Zulu warrior Jashaka featuring Gregory Isaacs. Just infatuation. Vibes in an Echo Box Radio. And now for some Delroy Wilson. Here we go. In a digi
ease
style.
Up your loving, you're running it too hard. Ease up, darling.
Rumor style.
Ease up.
Tune called Ease Up.
Ease up on your loving. Ease up. You're running it too hard.
A Bunny Lee production.
Ease up, take it easy, yeah.
My gosh.
Stop, you make it look too hard.
Is the General K.
You been running around with Tom, Dick and Harry.
Oh yeah.
But I know that someday you're gonna be sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
You been going around with every man in town. But I know sooner or later they're gonna put you down. That's why I'm asking you, ease up on your loving, girl. Ease up, you're running it too hard. Ease up, take it easy, yeah. Stop, don't make it look too hard. I have tried my best to talk to you, try to show you the things I know and true. But you won't try to understand. You say that I am not the only man. That's why I'm asking you, ease up on your loving, girl. Ease up. You're running it too hard. Oh yeah. Ease up. Take it easy. Stop. Don't make it look too hard. Oh yeah. Alright, baby. Tom, Dick and Harry. But I know that someday you're gonna be sorry. You've been going around with every man in town. But I know sooner or later they're gonna put you down. That's why I'm asking you, ease up. Ease up on your loving, girl. Ease up. You're running it too hard. Ease up. Take it easy, girl. Stop. Don't make it look so hard. Ease up. Ease up. Ease up on your loving. I beg you, ease up on your loving. You're running it too hard, baby.
And now we come to the last tune of the show. And here's a man that actually doesn't want to ease up. Listen to him. It's Mr. Smart. Down in the party. Let's go.
Ease up, because they're down in the party. Party, oh, I am your heartbreaker. Yes, I am your music lover. I have the girls them choice. Yes, them know, send me nice. See, me now ease up, because it done in your party. Me coffee nice it up, me a go rum up your party. Deep inside of me, I got my lyrics in the style. East, west, north and south, me a go rap them all about. Anywhere me go, the people them say what make me bad so. Me coffee rock the young and the old. Me coffee make the good time roll. Boy, me now go ease up, because it done in a your party. See, me coffee nice it up, rum it up. Me coffee rum up your party. Rum up your party. Nice up your dance hall. Rum up your party. Nice up your dance hall. Hey, me now ease up, because it done in a your party. See, me coffee nice it up, me coffee rum up your party. Styling. I am your heartbreaker.
And it's a General K signing off.
I am the girls them choice. Yes, them say that me.
Till next month.
Me come to rum up your party. Nice up your dance hall. Me come to rum up your party.
Ça commence par un blouson, une femme ou un morceau de chic comme dans chaque cité. Si je mens, demande à la police le style de triste histoire qui alimente les bancs publics, les squares, retransmise pendant les visites au parloir. À croire que le chétan tourne. Puis un jour, voilà notre pouf leur avait dit pas cogner coucou.
Coucou,
coucou habite la cité. D'un côté, donc on se connaît, font de la monnaie. Après, ils iront dire qu'on les jalousait, ont-ils raison. Bref, ta gueule, la justice est morte, ma gueule. On s'en tape et on a mille guns. Eux en avaient un seul. Passèrent, firent deux étincelles, en laissèrent un par terre. On a les nerfs sur la vie de ma tête. Nos familles manifestèrent et nous ont rempli les holsters.
On a chopé la guérilla, guérilla. C'est la guérilla, guérilla. Ah. Et c'est la guérilla. On ne sait jamais quand ça arrive. C'est la guérilla. On ne sait jamais quand ça finit. C'est la guérilla. On ne sait jamais qui va guérir. C'est la guérilla. C'est la guérilla, on sait jamais quand ça arrive. C'est la guérilla, on ne sait jamais quand ça finit. C'est la guérilla, t'ignores la guérilla. Pourquoi la guérilla, toujours la guérilla.
Walking on water.
Walking on water.
Walking on air.
Walking on air.
Walking through stops and goes through high and lows to be there.
Walking through silence.
Walking through silence.
On ashes and dust.
Ashes and dust.
After fills and doubts, what it's all about, it's a matter of trust.
The way it goes, on, the river flows, on, the bond is strong, on.
The bomb. Igor Sechin, the foul-mouthed, gravel-voiced troll in charge of Rosneft, is back in the news. So let's take a look at him, and let's see how he's dealt with what we could call Prigozhin syndrome. Hello, I'm Mark Galliotti, and welcome to my view of Russia in Moscow shadows. This podcast, of varying length, frequency and format, yet always reassuringly low production values, is supported by generous and perspicacious patrons like you, and also by the crisis exercise software company Conductor. Before I get started, shortly I'm going to be starting some travels which will actually mean that I'll be away for not one but two Sundays in a row. At least one of those I will try to have a pre-recorded episode ready to roll, but it is possible that there will be a little interruption in normal services. We'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, this was very much prompted by a scoop in the economics-focused online source The Bell, which reported, and this was picked up much more widely afterwards, that on Thursday, Putin gathered together a collection of oligarchs behind closed doors during a meeting of the Russian Union of Industrialists and Entrepreneurs, and apparently asked them to pitch in for the national budget, specifically for the war in Ukraine, saying we will keep fighting and we will push to the borders of Donbass, which again really is reaffirming his determination to get hold of that remaining 20 or so percent of Donetsk region. And it seems that the heavily sanctioned tycoon Suleyman Kerimov promised on the spot to contribute 100 billion rubles, that's $1.23 billion, and that at least one other major businessman present at the meeting also backed the idea, though we haven't had a name, we haven't had a sense of the amount of contribution, and the smart money seems to be, excuse the expression, that it was Oleg Deripaska, the metals magnate, who contributed that. Now, inevitably, something of a big deal has been made of this in the West, and in particular, those who want to claim that it demonstrates that the Russian economy is in crisis and so forth have been to the fore. I think we need to be a little bit cautious. First of all, look, the notion of windfall taxes, which is in effect what this is hardly unfamiliar in the West, as indeed it isn't to Russia. I mean, that very same day, Economy Minister Maxim Reshetnikov said that he was considering another windfall tax if the ruble continues to weaken, because there are particularly certain companies which benefit quite dramatically as a result. And back in 2023, the Russians raised 320 billion rubles, which at the time was just under £3 billion, through a one-off 10% windfall levy on some of the larger companies. So this is nothing necessarily new. And in many ways, it also is an appropriately feudal kind of tax. This is Putin essentially saying to these people, you have all been beneficiaries of the Kremlin's support, largesse and tolerance in the past. Well, now the bill is coming due. You're not exactly impoverished. You can afford to chip in. And it also is faintly reminiscent of back in 2005. There was this passing round the hat to various oligarchs and corporations to provide monies notionally for the national project Health, which obviously sounds like a very good cause, though in practice a large chunk of this money was actually diverted, with everyone's knowledge, to build Putin's palace at Gelenjik on the Black Sea coast. So, there is something of a tradition of these points when actually everyone's expected to chip in. And it doesn't necessarily demonstrate that the economy is in crisis. It is rather that this is a good time to raise funds because Russian businesses are cashing in on surging prices for oil, for gas, for fertilizer, for various other commodities, courtesy of the war in the Middle East. in the open part of the meeting with, again, the Union of Industrialists and Entrepreneurs, Putin actually warned business people against getting being sort of too carried away by the immediate opportunities, saying, "We need to keep our heads. If markets swing one way today, they may swing the other way tomorrow." And in fact, it's perfectly true. I mean, the Russians are treating this as a short-term bonus rather than the new economic normal. But, of course, from Putin's point of view, yes, of course he wants money. I mean, point one, name me one government that says, "We have quite enough revenue at the moment, thanks very much. It would be greedy to ask for more." Of course, governments want money. But also, in particular, from Putin's point of view, the key thing is not that the economy is about to collapse. It is rather that the more spare cash available in the Treasury, not only the greater the chance of staving off cuts in public spending that might breed political disenchantment, but also it delays the point at which he can no longer afford to recruit for the special military operation by offering volunteers huge sums of money. And that's when you have to make the really tough decisions about maybe having to use conscripts or mobilise reservists, which again will have a huge political price tag. So, you know, this is just simply taking advantage of the opportunity to extend a certain window of opportunity to avoid making the war genuinely Russia's war. Significant then, but not signs of a crisis. However, one particular aspect that did catch my eye was that, according to the Bell sources, and on the whole, the Bell has very good sources, it's worth noting, the whole idea of this quote-unquote voluntary donation originated with Igor Sechin, Putin's longtime ally, the CEO of Russia's largest oil company, Rosneft. But why that was quite striking for me is since 2022, Sechin has been keeping a surprisingly low profile. So I thought it was a good opportunity to take a look at the man, the myth, and the mightily unpleasant stories around this fellow. And doing so, I was thinking, I thought I had covered Sechin in a podcast. And I look back and it turns out it was actually in the second ever issue, edition, call them what you will, of In Moscow Shadows back in 2020, in which I was comparing him with Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin as case studies of institutional versus personal power. You might want to go back and listen if you want. It's only just over half an hour. Interesting for me, actually, how the style and pace of the podcast has changed over that time, because it's not like I tend to go back and re-listen to old episodes. But anyway, there it is. So I think I can safely retread this territory. And well, one of the things you'll immediately encounter when you start looking at Sechin is this claim that he's known not only as the Grey Cardinal, but also as Russia's Darth Vader. And, I mean, I was tempted to dub over on this point the Imperial March. But the trouble is that I can't help thinking that this is one of these nicknames that are generated by journalists. And other people think, well, I hadn't heard that, but still, that's interesting, and that's a good bit of copy. And it gets used, and then it gets picked up by the Russians themselves and used. I have a feeling, for example, that General Apocalypse for General Surovikin is another one of these things that, yes, now you'll find Russian outlets using it, but I honestly don't think they were. But anyway, Russia's Darth Vader, and it's really quite appropriate if Putin is the wizened emperor figure. Darth Vader is this large, burly, imposing and powerful henchman. But, well, look, this is certainly what Sechin was, but I'm not sure if it's really what Sechin is. He is certainly, it has to be said, not a nice chap. Sycophantic to his boss, a bully to everyone below him, known for also his extraordinarily foul mouth. But he is also presenting a case study in how it can be advantageous to be, or to have been, Putin's literal bag carrier. We have this footage and photos of him back in the days when Putin was deputy mayor of St. Petersburg and Sechin was his aide. Absolutely, it was Sechin who was carrying his bags and doing everything else Sechin was indeed the man who sharpened Putin's pencils, which, as I say that, I really feel I should stress that I meant that literally and not as some kind of ribald and dirty euphemism, because that does bring a terrible image to mind. So let's look at his career in very broad terms. I mean, his early career, he studied at Leningrad State University, again, Putin's alma mater, but not in Putin's class or anything like that. In fact, he then worked, he was a linguist, and he then worked as a Soviet interpreter in Mozambique and Angola. And the pretty substantial suggestions are, some people say he was KGB, I don't think so. I think it was more likely that he was GRU, because it's very much the kind of classic pattern of GRU officers, that, you know, they're often military interpreters. Anyway, then civilian life, he served at the office of the St. Petersburg mayoralty. He was Putin, became Putin's chief of staff in 1994, still carrying Putin's bags. And then when Putin's patron, Mayor Sobchak, lost the elections and Putin went to Moscow, well, Sechin went with him, became his deputy, for example, 1997-8, as head of the general department in the main control directorate, which is what Putin was doing within the presidential administration before he went on to become director of the FSB, and then following that, prime minister, heir apparent, and acting president. And in that time, I mean, there was this fascinating, I think quite telling little anecdote that Putin and Sechin were both allocated apartments by the government administration. And apparently Putin's nose was very much put out of joint by the fact that his deputy had received an apartment which was four square.